Hey everyone, thank you for joining us on this incredible platform, Encounter. You know that it is here where we get revelation, impartation, and equipping. My name is Leon DePrio from Encounter Church, from Encounter Christian Church, Encounter Global. You will see that this word will lift you, will empower you, will equip you. So I want you to stay tuned. Before that, go visit www.encounterchurch.co.za for any resources to give via any platform for any video resources. Become a part of this family. Become a part of this network. I can't wait to be with you today. This message is going to be pure revelation. Stay tuned, and I can't wait to see you. Get into the message. God bless you. Welcome everyone. And as far as I know, we've just got our stuff right here and connected to Reverend Meshu. And hello, Rev. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good evening, Prophet. I can hear you well.
Good. Thank you so much for being with us this evening. You know, I think it is going to be a great evening. Thank you so much. I just want to take a few seconds just to test so you can hear us well on that side.
Yes, now I can hear you well. Thank you.
And thank you so much. Thank you so much, Reverend. Sorry we were over time. You know, with online, we found out that things sometimes just takes a little bit longer. And I know that you have also a time limit because of your schedule. So I want to kind of like get into it almost immediately. But we have so many people on here right now. So the numbers, we have different streams running, Reverend. We have on Facebook, we have on YouTube, and then we have some private streams running. So there is about, at the moment, currently 950 people, individuals watching. And, you know, and we find it so important. We had so many people asking questions and asking also the importance of the church and being an essential, and also the ACDP. And I wanted to, before, just as I'm welcoming you, Reverend, and before I'm going to give you the platform, I just want to just take a few seconds just to say thank you, and we really honor you for coming on. I have met you the end of last year in Cape Town when we were at Parliament, and I shared with all our church and our followers and so on online that, you know, when I met you, and our only first words, my wife and I's words when we walked out together with Pastor Chris was, our first words were this: how refreshing it was to meet genuine and true believers and Christians. And, you know, from that day, I've just connected with you. And, you know, I tell our church how important it is, a godly government, how important it is for the church to be in ruling of the nation, in government, in politics, how important the role of the church is in politics, and the move that you are spearheading. And I think it is very, very important. You know, so I want to just introduce you in that way, say thank you. And to everybody, this is Reverend Kenneth Meshu from president of the ACDP party, and doing an excellent job when it comes to the church, when it comes to even essential services as the church. As you saw, we're feeding the poor and doing many other services, and with many other areas in the church that he's pushing for and advocating for. And Reverend, so welcome on here, sir. And if you can maybe just introduce yourself, just say something to the crowd as you feel led. And
good evening one more time, man of God, and thank you so much for inviting me to be with you on this evening service. And greetings to all the viewers, all the listeners, wonderful members and supporters of your ministry. I must say that you are doing a great job. We admire you and respect you greatly for what you are doing and for what the Lord is doing through you. Amen. So, being it a pleasure to be with you tonight, I'm going to share a number of things. Some of them might be new to the ears of the viewers. Some of them they will be hearing for the first time, but it is important to know the importance of Christians to be in the political arena. Because if Christians are not there and they continue supporting the ungodly, they will have nobody to blame but themselves.
Yes.
People sometimes become surprised when an animal or a snake that they have been feeding turns against them. It is the nature of a snake to feed, to bite.
Yes.
So if anybody says, it is my pet, I'm raising it up, it's my pet, it is not wild, the nature of the snake is to bite. And so people sometimes support monsters and they are surprised when they turn against them. Having said that, people are complaining obviously in our country, including ourselves, including myself, we are not happy.
Yes.
At what is happening in the country. We have part of a ministry that feeds the poor, we clothe them, and we help them with many other physical needs. And with this lockdown, we have applied and requested to be classified as an essential service, and that has not succeeded. Our pleas have fallen on deaf ears. I want to read to you and to the listeners and viewers a letter I wrote to the Office of the President on the 8th of April, 2020. I said in the letter, there are a number of churches in the country that have NPO / PBO status that have been providing food and clothing to members of the community. Many of these community members are unemployed, destitute, and depend largely on social services provided by these churches that have requested me to approach the president on their behalf. We are getting heartbreaking reports of families that are starving and suffering because these churches cannot reach out to them as a result of the national lockdown, which we understand and support. Consequently, we request that these churches involved in socio-economic relief projects be declared an essential service. The needs are too vast for government to meet on their own, and we would propose that these churches assisting with meeting the physical and emotional needs of the community go into partnership with government to bring relief to the vulnerable and destitute among us. Trusting that our request will meet the Honorable President's favorable consideration. That's what I wrote on the 8th of April this year. Now, I'm going to read to you the response I got from government. It is Dr. Goronov who replied on behalf of the president. He is the parliamentary counselor to the president, an advisor to the president as a member of parliament.
Yes.
He says, I acknowledge receipt of your letter dated 8th April 2020, addressed to the president of the Republic of South Africa, His Excellency Mr. Cyril Ramaphosa. Your proposal will be forwarded to the national points for consideration. May I suggest that any interested church that wants to assist in socio-economic relief apply to the Department of Social Development to be allowed to operate as an essential service in terms of Regulation 11B3 of COVID-19, and if approved, they will be issued with a valid permit to perform essential services. Now, the response was saying, write to the Department of Social Development.
Yes, yes.
And if they approve, so there will be churches that will be approved, there will be churches that will not be approved.
Yes, yes.
Now, we applied. Until today, we are still waiting for a response. A number of pastors have said to me they are frustrated. They don't know what to do anymore because it's like they are being blocked to fulfill their ministry.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
I want to read again a report that was said about the president after he spoke to the nation. He says, President Cyril Ramaphosa says 250,000 food parcels will be distributed over the next 2 weeks. Then he's quoted here. We, open quote, we have recognized that the food distribution capacity of government is not adequate to meet the huge needs that have arisen since the start of the epidemic.
Yes.
What the president said. The food distribution capacity of government is not adequate. So I responded to what the president said. Two things. Firstly, I said, the president speaks about distributing 250 food parcels in 2 weeks. And I said, if the churches are brought on board, they can do this in 1 day.
Yes, yes,
definitely. 150,000 food parcels in 2 weeks. And I said the churches can do this in 1 day, which is the truth.
Yes,
if we
yes,
bring
yes.
all the churches, we can do this in 1 day.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely.
And secondly, the president said that government does not have adequate capacity to do food distribution. Again, I said, churches have the capacity.
Yes.
They
yes.
have the experience. They can do this because we have been doing this for years.
Yes.
And actually, even before we were born, churches were involved in social development ministry, compassionate ministry, and they've been doing it extremely well. And government has not acceded to our request. So my conclusion from the way they have responded to all our requests is that they do not want the church to be involved in what they are doing.
Definitely.
They are sidelining the church.
Yes.
This, to me, is a clear warning sign to the church. The church in South Africa must wake up. The church must wake up. In early September 2018, the president visited China. And obviously, he was on an investment drive. He encouraged South African businesses to link up with Chinese businesses. But the other one thing he said that concerned me, he appealed to the China Communist Party that they need to work closer to government and to the ANC. Now, remember, the Chinese government is communist.
Yes.
And they've never been tied to yes. the church.
Yes.
This plea was made in 2018, 2 years ago. Now, when I see the response of government now to churches, I'm thinking maybe it's the influence that has come from that partnership.
Definitely.
Because yes. churches in China are being persecuted.
Yes, yes.
So the South African church must be aware that if they don't do anything now, their ministries will not only be denied the space and the opportunity to fulfill their calling, but soon they might also be denied the right to meet.
Definitely.
To meet and congregate.
Yes.
We know that many yes. churches that are upholding the name of Jesus Christ without compromise are underground in China. The open churches that are official, that accepted,
yes,
are
state
churches
licensed,
that
yes.
are dense to the tune of government.
Yes.
And so we have a choice as South Africans. What is happening right now, more than 5 weeks, churches have not been meeting physically. We have not been meeting. We are not allowed. And when you look at the levels, we are now in level 4, all right?
And we are
you
level
look at
one.
That, the church appears nowhere. Even
yes.
level 1, it doesn't tell when the churches are going to be open. So this must be a big wake-up call for the church.
Yes.
That church, if
yes.
you don't wake up, you will have nobody to blame but yourself. And obviously, our people must understand. We all get the government we deserve. We do not have to blame anybody if government turns against us, but we get the government we deserve. Many times because of doing nothing, and just saying God is in control.
Yes.
It is true, God is in control.
Yes.
But
yes.
He's expecting His children to do something.
Yes.
He's
yes.
expecting people to move. Now, I want to give you a few examples and let the viewers and the listeners hear what can happen when a church understands their role and responsibility on earth. As a church, we know that we consist of three parts. All right? We are not yes. called to only look at the spiritual part. We have emotional part and we have physical part.
Yeah.
That all of them must be attended to.
Yes.
So church is not only meeting in church to clap hands, to worship and to praise the Lord, which is nice.
Yes.
We
yes.
go there to be yes. equipped so that when we leave the church, we start doing something in the communities. Earlier on, the Lord spoke to me from a very interesting scripture, Matthew 18:18. When you look at it from the Good News Translation, there Jesus says, "And so I tell all of you," I'm reading in the Good News Translation, all right?
Yes, yes.
"And
yes.
so I tell all of you, what you prohibit on earth will be prohibited in heaven. And what you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven."
Sure.
We have the power and authority to prohibit and to permit. And the Lord gave me this scripture in the early 90s when there was terrible violence in Fort Lawrence. And the Lord said, what is happening? You can stop it. You can prohibit it.
Yes,
if
yes.
If you take my word, you take my word seriously, this is what I say. And so we talk to our people in the church. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. And so then, I went to Parliament, knowing this scripture. And 1994, the constitution making started writing the current constitution. And then in one of the committees, because what happened was members of parliament were divided into smaller committees, six committees in all, and were divided in those committees. One of the important things that my committee looked at, or the committee I belong to,
yes.
looked at was what form of state should South Africa be? On behalf of the ACDP, I said, we want to be a constitutional state based on biblical principles. And on behalf of the ANC, Dr. Blayton Zimande, that we all know, who's today the Minister of Higher Education.
Yes.
On behalf of the ANC, he said, we want to be a secular state, and that must be clearly stated in the Constitution. Now, at that time I was new in politics, I did not know the full implications of having a constitution that said, yes. we are a secular state.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, Ask a question. We had consultants then. One of them was Professor Yukoda from the University of Cape Town. I raised my hand and said, Prof, what would be the implications of having a constitution that states that we are a secular state? And the Prof said, I will answer your question the following week in writing, because I don't want you to forget yes. the essence of what yes. I'm going to say. So the following week, he came with a memorandum. The memo he gave us stated that if the Constitution of South Africa states that you are a secular state, some of the things that would happen would be, number one, there would be no reference to God in the Constitution. Number two, state institutions would not be used for religious purposes. Number three, religious office bearers would not hold any office of state.
Yes.
Now, the Holy Spirit put a focus on the second one. State institutions would not be used for religious purposes. Suddenly, I remembered that at that time, about 60% of black charismatic churches, black independent churches, did not have places of their own to worship in.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if it, state institutions will not be used for religious purposes, that means that all those who are meeting in the schools would be thrown out.
And tent or see your schools and halls, community halls, you told me.
Yeah, community halls, even if you have a tent pitched on land that belongs to the state, you'd have to bring that community, that tent down. I thought of the many, many churches meeting in the school classrooms.
Yes.
They will all be thrown out. So the Lord said to me, inform the church quickly. I made a copy of that memorandum from the professor. I attached my memorandum to that to explain about the seriousness of that. And we distributed that in Cape Town, saying to the churches, wake up, wake up, wake up. Those we knew were in the schools, we said to them, wake up, wake up, you're going to be thrown out. And when the churches saw that, they stood up and they said, we will not allow this. Now, this brings me back to Matthew 18:18. The churches said, we will not allow this.
Yes, yes.
And then
yes.
The question was asked, what can we do? What must we do? I said to them, use the language that government understands the best. You speak in Afrikaans, Alejandro Leicester. You speak in English, they will not listen. Use the language they listen to.
Make a noise.
All the time. What's that language? Get in the streets. Get in the streets and protest. So indeed, to cut the long story short, a protest march was organized to Parliament.
Yeah.
And the memorandum was handed to the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa, who was the chairman of the Constitution Committee.
Yes, yes.
In the memorandum, we said, we don't want to be a secular state. We want to be a nation under God. South Africa belongs to Jesus, and so on. And when government saw what the secular media said was 35,000 Christians in the street, they backed down. So today, the South African Constitution does not have the words, we are a secular state. That's why we have the mention of God. We have Nkosi Sikelel' Afrika in our Constitution.
And Reverend, I think that what is so important is what you told me when we were at Parliament, and I don't think a lot of people understand exactly what you're saying right now, that, as you said, many churches, they don't understand that with the ACDP, where you're the president of, and the seats that you have in Parliament, that you can push for certain policies, and you can push, and where you, for example, one of these policies where about the state-owned churches not being in there, for example, tents, school buildings, community halls, and a lot of churches, a lot of believers don't know that the ACDP was part of making that go through, so they just blindly go and vote for another party. As I said, when I met you, I didn't actually know what the ACDP stood for until you explained to me. You know, I thought, and I think a lot of people think that you have to be fully in power to push any policy to go through.
Yeah, you know, what you're saying is correct. If there was no ACDP in Parliament, the Constitution would be clearly stating that we are a secular state. And if that was the case, there would be not a single church meeting in the school classroom or in a facility belonging to government. So even we don't want credit for that. We don't want them to say thank you. But the truth is, churches that are meeting in the schools is because of the work of the ACDP.
And people need to understand, they need to understand the importance of not staying silent right now. You know, Reverend, you were speaking about if people stay silent here, where the church doesn't know what is coming. And I have the same thing. End of last year, I was prophesying to our church, and I did it in New Year's Eve as well. I said, in March, a recession is coming. And I said, a darkness is coming to the church. I said, by the end of July, it will be begin to get better. But I used the words that in March this will happen. And I saw so many believers not understanding the importance of meeting in the church, not understanding, you know, the book of Hebrews where it says, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. This is not just this is one of the commands that God has given us. And like you said, you were speaking about, or you were telling the president, they said they could only feed 250,000 people in the last two, 2 weeks. I think it is embarrassing, you know, for a country to feed that little people. And, you know, if we could take the church, if you could just look at the stats of who the church fed, we just fed in 2 weeks, and we're only getting started now. We fed close to 1,000 families. And, you know, it is, you know, what the government doesn't understand is that for church buildings or any way to be open, where that is how money is raised to feed. Yes. You know, money doesn't just automatically come to an NPO to feed families. The way you are successful is when the government does support the church. I look at the United States, many states made the church an essential service, or some states made it an essential service. And then we wonder why God sometimes, or why the United States is blessed. And then I looked at our levels, level 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you are right, as you are saying, with that the church is not even on level 1. And that is true. In level 1, it says the words that you know, social distancing will be applied, and then gatherings will continue or begin to be put in if it is found to be healthy or approved. And they put in a lot of conditions there at that level 1. What the church doesn't understand is that this can be months, and that South Africa has put the church right at the end, where you have some nations that puts the church on the forefront. And I thought that as an embarrassment. It is one thing to see the church as an NPO, but it's another thing to see the church as a spiritual essential as well. You know, psychologically locking up people. It's fine and well if they say there's an infection and so on with the virus, but there still needs to be a spiritual sustenance to psychologically help people overcome the barriers of isolation. Just the words isolation is demonic, even in scripture. God never promotes isolation in any area of scripture. You will always see socializing, you will always see fellowship, and where the light is, there is fellowship, and we cannot have light without fellowship. And I think that has a powerful impact on the nation. And I saw some malls, pictures that was taken yesterday, or the 1st of May, Friday, when it opened up, and I saw the malls packed with people. And this was not fake news or anything, this was actual pictures. And no social distancing, people, crowds, thousands in malls on Friday, yet, you know, the church is denied, where the church would abide by, even if they would have put into the church to say, use this sanitization rules, use this type of social distancing. But somehow, if there would have been a leverage from the government to the church to allow this, I think we could have done much more to help fight South Africa with this virus than what is currently happening.
Even using the church.
No, you are right. I agree 100% with you. It is important that the role of the church in society be acknowledged by government. Now the role of the church is not appreciated. That's why, as we extend our hand to government, say, can we assist? Give us the right to assist, to feed the people, to look after the people. You know, solitary confinement, you asked those who were in prison, yes, during the struggle. It affects your mind. It affects your thinking. Now, how many of our elderly people are staying alone? It affects them mentally. There are also reports about people who commit suicide because they can't take this, looking at the walls and furniture.
Definitely. Yes, yes.
All the time alone. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. And government doesn't seem to care. So we have to continue knocking as God's people and say, we are not asking for your money. We are just saying, allow us to fulfill our ministry.
Yes.
It's important. It's important, if I have to go back to Matthew 18:18, for viewers to listen carefully and to know that they can make a difference. The South Africa we have now is not what God has planned for South Africa. God has planned for this nation to be so blessed that we will be a blessing to the rest of Africa,
yes, yes,
and the world. Okay? That's our calling as South Africa. But now, because of, I believe, again, the influence of communism, the communists that have been asked to come and help with strategies, authoritarianship is going to come to South Africa if Christians don't do anything. Dictatorship will finally come. The constitution may say democratic. We are a democratic country. That's what the constitution may say.
That is difficult.
If they say state of emergency, state of natural disaster, what are you going to do? You are going to be locked in your house. You know, right now, while we are locked in our houses, 5G towers are going up all over.
Yes. Oh, there's one outside here.
There's one outside you.
Yeah.
That you are going to be monitored. We are going to be monitored. We are going to do something about it.
So
we definitely are going to do
something. That's what I was thinking, is that, you know, as we are on this meeting and going off this, and obviously myself and you in contact, but we're going to start something with the churches where they can make a noise about it. Because if we, yes, the church might not be declared a essential service in this state of disaster right now, but in the next one that is going to come, if we can make a noise now, we might get the attention. I think that is very important, because as you were saying about Matthew chapter number 18, where two are agreeing, so it shall be established. And you know, that is so crucial for us, and we have so many viewers. We have over 1,000 people right now, on individuals on live on the stream. But it is so important to for people to make a noise and not just roll back and settle for a ungodly government, but a godly government. I mean, the noise that the church can make can push this tipping point over. I was reading a letter about, and this is what the church don't know. I think it was last week, and I believe you might be aware of it. I saw it in the news, but I saw a letter that the president received from Kim Jong-un as a celebration letter for Freedom Day. And this is from the dictator in North Korea, you know, and obviously we know the relationship there with China and South Africa. And South Africa, as the church, they don't know what they're getting themselves into. That, as you're saying, once communism gets into this country, it's going to affect every church, well, it'll affect every person. I was prophesying in the prophecy that I released on New Year's Eve. I said these words. I said, if the church does not stand up, the nation is going to become communistic. And I said it'll start the month of March. And I released that prophecy on New Year's Eve to say it'll be a dictatorship and a communism that'll come in. And this is what, if churches can stand together and to make a noise in a protest, like you said, that's the language that Parliament and the government understands, is protest. And people might think, maybe people are watching and say, no, but protesting and so on is rebellion. It's not. That is the language that the president or that the government receives. And that's the only way we can make a noise or be heard, is to say, look, we need the church to be opened. You fed 250,000. We can get it to over 1 million if you can have the churches standing together.
Sure.
You know, look at Trump in the United States. He's not a perfect president by at all. We understand that, but yet his relationship with Israel is number one, which I think is vital, which South Africa has missed. And and for the church just to understand the relationship with Israel, how vitally important it is towards the end time, that China is the opposing nation when it comes to the end of days, the end time, that China will be one of the opposing nations that the Bible speaks about. And right now, South Africa is aligned with China. And it is, the church has to make a noise. If we don't, we're going to be state-owned and state-licensed. And it'll be like, you'll have two types of churches in China, where you have the underground church and you have the church that is approved, licensed by the states. And I believe fully the stage is being set for that. People think we are conspiracy theorists. I cannot help but to, that is what I know, that is what I feel. I've been prophesying it for a year, for last year, 3 months, when I met you in Parliament. It was from October last year till December, where I prophesied to our church. I told all my team, my pastors and my staff, we will be locked in our houses next this year coming. And I said to them, get food, get this. I didn't know what I was seeing, but I just saw it in a vision. And, you know, I think that we're obviously going to start something. And for people just on the stream to be aware already before we start it, but to make a noise for Christianity and for the government to listen to the church. The church is the health of a nation.
Yeah. It's important for Christians who are timid to ask the Lord to give them spirit of courage and boldness. Many Christians are unfortunately very timid. Some are cowards. They cannot make a stand. And if they cannot make a stand now, when the pressure increases, they are going to fall away. Now, I want to mention the other thing that we did based on Matthew 18:18, and then I will tell the viewers what we intend doing. Because I refuse,
yes,
not to meet in church until end of the year. I refuse.
Yes, definitely.
Bill Gates has suggested that meetings should not be allowed until after between 6 to 18 months. Bill Gates says 18 months.
And they want to push it till after December in the States with the winter. I know they want to push it till after the winter, you know.
He wants it all over.
Yeah.
Bill Gates wants it all over the world. And he even says, and the church individuals who are not, don't have the vaccine, should also not be allowed in gatherings. So they want to also impose vaccines on all individuals because they have an agenda.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I don't think I'm wrong to say an evil, wicked agenda that the church obviously should say, I'm not going to allow a vaccination to be forced on me.
Yes.
But we don't have to wait until that time when the vaccination comes. We can now start doing something to make sure that South Africa shows Africa what we can do as Christians.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Yes.
2012, we were told, I was in Parliament on a Wednesday. I was in Parliament. Then I got a call. It was a Wednesday after 5 p.m. I received a call from a friend in Joburg who said, are you going to be in the meeting tomorrow morning on Thursday? I said, what meeting are you talking about? I didn't know about that. He said, no, tomorrow morning in Sandton. He gave me the address. He said, the CRL will be meeting to discuss about the many holidays we have on our calendar, because there are people who complained that there are too many Christian holidays on the calendar. And the fact is, if you look at the calendar, it's only Christmas and Good Friday.
And Good
Those
Friday,
are the
yeah.
only two.
Yes, yes.
They said there are too many, so they must be removed. One of them must be removed. So because I was in Cape Town, I phoned my wife and said, please, yes, what's happening tomorrow at this address? Take some elders with you. And I phoned the ACDP office. I said to the surgeon, please take some people with you. Go and represent us there. When they arrived, they found 5 groups of people there. There were the Muslim representatives, the Hindus, the African traditional religion, and Rastafarians, and Sangomas.
And no 5. Christians.
No Christians. And so our guys objected and said, why do you exclude Christians when you are going to debate the Christian issues?
Yes, yes.
Well, they lied, they went there and there and there, and then they said, no, we were still going to call you. We know it was a lie. But because they were planning to do the same thing in all the provinces, they had their own programs on the tables. Now our guys saw them, we took those programs, we distributed them in all the provinces and said, guys, these guys are coming on these days, these guys are coming. They say in some meetings it was only Christians because the other groups knew that the Christians are aware.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
So we organized the protest march. We said, okay, if this is what government wants to do, we'll use the language they will understand. We marched to Pretoria. I handed the memorandum to the then Minister of Home Affairs, who was at that time Dr. Naledi Pandor. I gave them the memorandum when the church said, hands off Christmas and Good Friday. Based on Matthew 18:18, we said that Jesus said, if we prohibit, it will not happen.
Yes,
if we permit
yes,
it,
yes.
it will happen. We said, hands off Christmas and Good Friday. I'm that man of God to tell you, and all the viewers, that because of what we did, today we still celebrate Christmas and Good Friday. Now, this year,
wow.
If all the Christians who are going to celebrate Christmas, I know that people are arguing about Christmas. Was it in December? Was it in September? And I said, I don't want to get into that argument.
Yes,
I
yes,
am just
yes.
happy that there's a day that acknowledges the birth of Jesus
yes,
Christ.
Yes,
yes. I'm happy about that. If next year they can decide they're going to have Christmas in August, I will not worry. I'll just say, as long as you acknowledge that my Savior was born,
yes.
my Savior Jesus
yes.
Christ.
Yes.
Ascension Day used to be on the calendar of South Africa. It was removed because we were sleeping. These things were done behind our backs. I don't know how it happened. We just realized Ascension Day is gone. And after that happened, we said, Lord, open our eyes. We will not lose other Christian holidays because we're sleeping. Warn us, and the Lord warned us. So Matthew 18:18. is something that every Christian must look at and relook at and relook at. Am I going to allow what is happening to continue?
Yes.
Am I going to permit what is doing to the church?
Yes.
Or am I going to do my best to prohibit Satan from stopping us to meet as a church? Now, this is something that I'm hoping, and I'm actually, I haven't even spoken to my wife about it. I woke up this morning with this thing on my mind. If government does not listen, we are going to have a protest prayer gatherings.
Yes.
Get into the streets.
Yes.
Kneel down and call upon the name of the Lord.
Definitely.
In the street. We know they said now we should not meet. Okay, we'll keep the 1 meter distance. Make a row of Christians praying to God and asking him to intervene.
Yes.
Asking him for revival. Now, some of us, obviously, and those who participated may be arrested. How many Christians are willing to suffer for the name of Jesus?
Yes, yes.
How many Christians are willing to be persecuted for the name of Jesus Christ? Now, I want to challenge all those fearful, timid, and cowards who are in the church. We must stand up for Jesus.
Yes.
This is the hour to stop making excuses. This is the hour to stop compromising. This is the hour to stand up for Jesus. I have 2 grandchildren. When I look at my grandchildren, when they're in high school, if Jesus has not come yet, I will not be, I'll be gone.
Yes, yes.
But
yes.
I want my grandchildren to grow up in a nation that acknowledges Jesus Christ.
Yes.
A nation where Jesus Christ is spoken about and taught one more time in the schools.
Yes.
Now, if we can say, as God's people, that the earth is the Lord's, we believe the earth is the Lord's, and therefore the Lordship of Jesus Christ must be proclaimed through all the earth. Who are the ungodly who say to you and to me, you can't talk about Jesus here. You can talk about Jesus there. Not here. On the earth that belongs to our Father.
And Muslims won't allow that either.
We need to say, guys, imagine somebody comes to your property. Your boy is running around. Your children are playing around. And they want to tell your children what not to do.
Yes.
Your children will tell them, hey, this may pass up like Jesus.
Yes,
this
yes.
may pass up like Jesus. Okay? You can't tell me that because it belongs to my Father. And I think if Christians would adopt the same attitude, the earth belongs to our Heavenly Father.
Yes.
The devil did not create anything. So the devil cannot stop me from honoring my Father
yes.
on the earth that belongs to him. Now, it is this kind of passion, it is this kind of commitment that can make Christians to say, I will fight for the right of my children to grow up in the nation where Jesus Christ is acknowledged. I understand some people are saying in the last days people are going to fall off. Okay, I accept that it will happen. But I say, before it happens, the glory of the Lord must fill
yes.
South Africa.
Yes.
Before that happens, South Africa must be filled
yes.
with the knowledge
yes. Yes.
about Jesus Christ. And the communists obviously don't like that. The communists want to, if you hear about the persecution in China, it's heartbreaking. Christians are being killed until today. And yet government wants such government to be a friend and an advisor. How are they going to advise them about the future of South Africa? So Christians, we must stand up for Jesus Christ. We must stand up. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:15, he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died.
Yes.
And rose again for this.
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
So we need to live for Jesus Christ. These are the last of the last days. Our commitment to Jesus Christ should be unquestionable. We must stop compromising. We must be seen and be known that these people have committed their life to Jesus and their commitment is final.
Yes.
Their commitment is eternal. I've said yes to Jesus. And I've said, I put my hands on the plow because I saw what Jesus said in Luke 9:62. Anyone who puts his hand on the plow and looks back
is not fit. Yes.
It's not fit for my kingdom. So I put my hands on the plow, and we want to challenge all those who call themselves Christians. If you have put your hands on the plow, no turning back, no turning back, no
yes.
turning back. Let's serve Jesus until the trumpet sounds and he comes again and we meet him as victorious people. Not as defeated Christians from South Africa.
That's right. That's
who
right.
are just praying, Lord, come and fetch us. Lord, come and fetch. We don't want to run away. We want to be victorious in South Africa. But if Christians stand up and they say, I know my biblical right, not just the constitutional right, biblical right.
Yes.
And I will stand for my biblical right, South Africa will be saved. Africa will be saved. Africa will be saved. I believe that with all my heart.
That's so powerful. I mean, Rev, you know, evil prevails when good men do nothing. The book of Revelation speaks of the unbelieving, and then it says the cowardly, and then it goes on through the drunkard and etc. will find himself in the lake of fire. And I believe, you know, it's so easy for preachers to quote the verse that we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, but they forget the third part that says the fact that we do not love our lives unto death. You know, there's three things that overcomes him. And it is so crucial. Like I said, we have so many people on right now, but for people to hear what you're saying and to stand up, because if your voice is silenced during this time, and even as believers, they see China just as great. South Africa is connecting with China. They don't understand South Africa is siding and signing an alliance and a partnership with somebody that is cutting off the heads of Christians, that will shut down the church without thinking once. They will, you know, and I said this to our church even before lockdown. After lockdown, I said, I will submit. You know, I understand the scripture of submission. We will submit for this thing for a month, 2 months. But, you know, we also understand that there's a kingdom of darkness behind and an agenda behind this thing. World rulers are used. They don't even know what they are doing. Their hands are taken by powers of darkness. They don't know. They are not safe. They are not Christians. They are of darkness. And they are influenced by the kingdom of darkness. So there's a world agenda, obviously, as we know, New World Order. But that they use the, you know, in the New Testament, they used the excuse to say that Paul and them are preaching in the name of Jesus Christ, preaching the name of Jesus, and they must silence them. And they stirred it up with the crowds, and they told the crowds that if Paul and them carries on preaching like this, it's going to bring a political disruption. And that is why persecution took place in the early church as one of the factors. And at this age, a virus is used for it. It will, you know, the enemy will make something palatable and make it look like, but it's common sense. Let us stay in our houses. Let us not meet. But those who are in the spirit will understand that there's a language behind this thing. There's an agenda behind this. And if we don't stay silent right now, if we stay silent right now, I believe we're going to lose the church. I do believe it. But if people do stand up together, I said to our church during this lockdown and before, I said, because I was prophesying last year to our people, I said, I see us locked in our houses. And I told my team, I told my pastors, this was last year, February already. I said to them, this year coming, 2020, I see us locked. And we, do you have food? Do you have water? Do you have this? Not knowing what I was seeing. But this, if we stand for, if we don't speak up right now, I said to our church, I am not going to back down 2 months, okay, because of the health things and so on. But further than this, it's becoming communistic and dictatorial. And there will be a protest, and I will be part of the protest, and I will do anything I can to lead it from our side. Because once you give up your rights and your freedom, especially freedom of religion, your freedom of speech, you know, we might have a constitution in South Africa, but it's, where is the freedom of speech or the freedom of religion when we can't practice it? And when that is happening, our dignity is lost as a human race. That's what I believe. And that's why every believer that is listening, every Christian that is online, that, one thing I appreciated so much, Reverend, and just before I give it over to you again, is that I want everybody to know, a lot of people see, they see the ACDP, Reverend, they say, African Christian Democratic Party, the ACDP, but they don't understand the intricacies, they don't understand what policies has been passed, and they don't understand, you know, how in the spirit you are. When I met you, as I said, the first words I said to my wife was, finally I met somebody that is a true Christian and that has light in them. And I've met you after that again, and you know, and we've had a lot of conversations and seen one another, and you have so much light. Understanding the New World Order, understanding the agenda of the kingdom of darkness behind all of this. And I believe it is time for the church to awake in this area of the agenda of what is happening. And if we settle back and you know, the agenda also of politics is to go towards race and throw everything towards race, God. And I tell our church always, in the kingdom of God, there's no There's no female, no male, no black, no white. And policies, politics will always try to throw things to a race agenda, race politics. And it is a thing to incite Christians. And I've even seen Christians that are weak. They are being incited under this and they fall into racism. And when I met you as the president of the ACDP, that you don't stand for any of this. You don't stand for any of this or bias towards anything. You're a Christian, full-blown, spirit-filled, filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues. You have a lot of authority, and I believe the church is going to be awakened, but we'll be able to make a noise, and we will not sit back if this is extended, because you and I both know that the levels is implemented to make it longer. They can go to level 3 and say, okay, but wait, you are misbehaving. We can already see the language of that is being portrayed. You know, the language I saw, it is, you are now allowed to do this. You have not done well here. It's all about compliance and freedom being taken away. It is a program that is being is coming in people's minds, and then they'll put back into level 4 because they are misbehaving. I think it is a total destruction of rights and freedoms. And as the church in South Africa, we can feed 10 times more than what the government is feeding. That is no exaggeration, if the church stands with, but the government needs to understand they need, if they don't believe in God, that is fine, but they need the church. And, I understand we'll never get, the ANC is not going to believe fully in God. I understand, that's why the ACDP is there to push, because the government works with policies, works with seats, and, to push policies through. And we can push through the ACDP a lot of policies through, unless if I'm wrong in that, but this is how the Christian voice, there's no other party that the Christian voice is heard of except through ACDP at this moment that I'm aware of, Reverend. And, I want to ask you just also, as you you're going to give obviously a word of encouragement to the people, and I know you are time limited, and also a bit more on the ACDP, but some people, we have so many questions, and I will answer them afterwards. I know you need to go, but I know that people are asking here about the Bloemfontein thing and what the news did, and I saw the news article, the news report that you did when you came onto, I think, ENCA, and you explained to them, look, it was put onto the news that I'm positive when I wasn't even tested.
Correct.
Am I right? I don't know if you can just make that clear and to tell some people, to make them understand how the news operates,
We are planning to take this matter further after the lockdown. It is unethical, it is wrong.
Definitely.
To make such a radical announcement when the person was not consulted and when it is known that that person was not tested. It was an evil political agenda. 2 weeks ago, a friend of us who's a medical doctor by profession, said to me, I want to tell you what I have been reliably told was the reason they did that to you. He said, and this, what I'm going to say is the truth. Many black people know what I'm going to tell you.
Yes.
Many blacks in the beginning were saying coronavirus is an Asian and a white man's disease. It's not for black people. So we will not get it. They were refusing to cooperate. And the second thing that was said by the charismatics, they were saying we are protected by Psalm 91. And some were saying we are under the blood of Jesus Christ. It won't affect us. So when they scream, we're not interested, it's not our problem, it's their problem. Until they discuss this matter, how to overcome this obstacle. And one among them came with an idea. Let us find a respectable Christian leader and say he is positive. Because people will say, and then they decided to Reverend Mitchell. Then all those charismatics who say, we are under the blood, they will say, but if Reverend Mitchell gets it, who am I? All the poor black people who say, it's a white man's thing, it won't affect me, they will say, if Reverend gets it, who am I? So that man, friend, said, you have made a sacrificial lamb. That is what happened. And the surprising thing is that government has never disclosed or asked the question, who tested him, at which hospital, and when? They didn't ask the question. They just took it as fact.
Yes, yes, yes.
Until some of our members started asking the question, when was he tested and where? And they didn't have an answer. So government had to make time to come and test me.
Yes, yes.
And obviously, I have concluded with predetermined results. So that what was known throughout the media had to be parallel with
and
the outcome.
And it is a smear campaign also. I mean, they've put it in the media.
It is, definitely.
Traction yet.
Yeah, but thank God that that smear campaign has not worked. I'm now getting more invitations like you cannot believe it. It's like the sluice gates are open. Okay? The Lord is opening many new doors. There's no way the devil can get me down.
Yes.
There's no way that the devil can get us down.
And you are healthy now.
Oh, I've been healthy all the time. The interesting thing is that one of the officials who came to my house to test, he said, but you look healthy. I said to him, yes, I'm healthy. He said, but I have to continue with this because they said I must come and test you. I have to continue. Maybe stay in your house, self-isolate for 14 days. Maybe after 14 days, there will be some symptoms. 14 days have come and gone. 21 days have come and gone. 30 days have come and gone. I'm still as healthy as I was last year. So it was definitely a demonic ploy, but whatever the enemy had in mind has not worked. It will boomerang. Because out of this thing, this one I'm going to pursue.
Definitely,
for them to use my name the way they did, they have to tell the courts of South Africa.
Yes.
Why they did it, who was all involved.
Yes. Yes.
Some people, some Christians are saying, but is it necessary for you to... I say, it is necessary. If you are my enemy, I want you in front of me.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. The best thing to deal with an enemy, if you know your enemy, he comes from the front, you are able to deal with him. I don't want to embrace my enemy who stabbed me in my back. So that's why I want to know who were the people who cooked this lie.
Yes, yes. And it is the agenda against, you know, that's why I said they targeted you. It's the agenda against Christianity in South Africa. And every, you know, we had this week for this meeting, we had about 800 comments just before tonight's meeting, people sending us comments and messages. Many were obviously positive. And obviously you have those that attack and many of them attack that breakfast, that prayer meeting in Bloemfontein. And many of it were Christians that were attacking. That's why I wanted to answer it. Right now we have over 1,000 people that are individually live on and the numbers keeps climbing. But I see everybody, I see every comment saying here, saying how they're standing up for ACDP, we are behind you. And I think it is time to make the church more aware of the importance, because this was a target against the church, a prayer breakfast where yourself was, and I believe it was Angus Buchan that was at the meeting. What do? They take the main figures and they target it. Mm-hmm. It is all a ploy to make people comply and to make them scared and put fear in them. And they want to say, but if this thing spreads, it's the church's fault.
That's what they want to do. That's the goal, to blame the church. All right, that's the goal. Now, people who are criticizing us, I don't mind being criticized by somebody who's doing something. But if I'm criticized by somebody who's doing nothing, that person is saying, trying to say to me, be like me and do nothing.
Yes, yes.
And
yes,
I'm
yes.
not going to be like them. I will do something for Jesus, because the day I stand before him, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Those are the words I want to hear from the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to read this verse. Before we close, I want to read this verse.
Yes.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. It says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Just then. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Now the Christians will continue feeding the dragon.
Yes.
And ask themselves the question, am I foolish or am I bewitched? Knowing that this thing is going to have you for breakfast, lunch, and supper, you still feed it, this dragon. Who has bewitched you?
Yes.
You know, many Christians act like people who are bewitched. They're like, I need them, they can't think. It's like a spell has been cast on them. It is time that Christians, you know, many times, men of God, I say, the Bible says, and I teach the church, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Now, if you have the mind of Christ, have you ever asked yourself a question? What is that mind for?
Yes.
Why do I have the mind of
to
Christ?
Start thinking.
What is the benefit that I get from having the mind of Christ? We are not bewitched. I'm not bewitched. I'm able to see where the chickens don't see. You know, eagles see far ahead. Chickens see where they are.
Yes.
And many of these critical Christians are like chickens who only see where they are. They don't think about the future of their children and grandchildren. I want my grandchildren. I'm grateful to God for my children who are all on fire for Jesus. They are all defenders of the truth.
Yes.
They are all advocates for righteousness and holiness. Ask those critics. How many of them talk about righteousness? How many of them talk about holiness? Many of them are living defeated lives. They want us to join them on the grandstand where they are looking at people down there doing something and they judge them and they criticize them.
Yes.
I will not be on the grandstand to applaud people who are doing something. I want to be where the action is.
And at least we are doing something. You know, like you said, at least we are doing something.
We have so many
critics, but you know, on the show live, I want to let you know, like, I have not seen one negative comment here, and everybody all over on all the platforms is just keep saying how they support you and how this is an agenda, and you know, and they always stand by the ACDP. ACDP has got their vote, and you know, you know, I put a quote up. I know you need to go, Rev. I want you just to pray for the people, but I put a quote up earlier on social media. It was 2 days ago, so I spoke about it was Stalin. You know, now obviously we know Stalin was a wicked man, but he did a show and he stood in front of a crowd, he took a chicken and he plucked out all the feathers of the chicken and he let the chicken walk. And you see the psychological manipulation and how the chicken began to listen because of that torture, you know, and this was one of Stalin's moves. And, you know, that is one of the New World Order, one of the ploys, the agenda that is behind this thing is to torture people, to psychologically beat them down. Like you said, isolation is never of God. It is Christianity stands against the very basis of the word isolation. You know, we are to be brought into the fellowship, into the family of God, adopted into the family of God. And fellowship is the main key. In fact, even the underground church sacrificed their lives, took their lives at risk to still meet one another. Now, this is in no way advocating that we need to break any law. It is just to say that when this thing goes on, the church has to make a stand, and we definitely will. And Reverend, there's a very strong anointing on you and in the place, and everybody's saying, you got my vote. But I want to ask, Reverend, I want to ask if you can just stretch out, if you could pray for everyone here, and like, is there anything you want to share still, you can, but I know your time is limited. You have another meeting.
Well, the last thing I want to say, firstly, is to appeal to Christians. Those who are sellouts, they must stop being sellouts. And they must become true ambassadors for Jesus Christ. I work with ambassadors. Ambassadors from different countries. Ambassadors are not ashamed to represent their countries. Even those ambassadors coming from poor countries that have nothing, they are only positive about their countries. They never shy away from the fact that they represent those countries. So Christians who are submarines, you never see them. Secret agents, you never see them.
Yes, yes.
Some of them, I'm not even shy to say, I'm a secret disciple. Jesus doesn't need secret disciples now. He said, let your light so shine before men. No time for secrecy. So I'm requesting and I'm appealing to Christians. Time is running out.
Yes, yes.
Time is running out. Give yourself 100% to Jesus Christ. Let him be your life. Let him be your life. Strengthen your faith. Educate and feed your inner man.
Yes.
So that you can be able to stand. And after having done everything, to stand. Stand for Jesus. Stand for truth. Stand for righteousness. And lastly, the time will come very soon, even in our country, where some of us will say, I rather obey God more than men. While we all must be loyal to our governments, our loyalty must firstly, first and foremost, be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes, yes.
I'm appealing to my countrymen and all international viewers. When you have given your life to Jesus, let him be number one in your life, so that you will not regret for eternity. I want to pray now.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for this privilege. I thank you for this opportunity to stand with your servant, Prophet Leo, who's bold and courageous. I pray, Lord, that you strengthen him and his team.
Yes.
Continue filling them with the spirit of power and of glory.
Yes.
And to all those listeners who have heard the word today, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that those who were fearful, those who were hiding, those who were secret disciples, those whose commitment to Christ was questionable, that my God, they will repent and choose to be ambassadors.
Yes.
And choose to be the light that will be on a stand. Not the light that is hidden, but the light that will be on the stand, a lamp. So that those who don't know that they are Christians, they belong to you, that suddenly great grace, more grace will come upon them.
Yes.
Make the Church of South Africa bold, I pray. Make the Church of South Africa righteous, I pray. Make the Church of South Africa courageous,
yes,
I pray.
Yes.
May the Church of South Africa not fear anybody more than God, but may they fear God more than men. I honor you and thank you, my King. I thank you for hearing our prayers.
Yes.
For you said, whatever we ask in the name of Jesus Christ shall be done. I therefore thank you for Christians who will be converted, reconverted,
yes,
from being timid and being a coward to being a bold soldier of Jesus Christ. Bless them, I pray, and I leave your blessing upon them.
Yes.
In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Encounter. For more information, log on to www.encounterchurch.co.za or simply give us a call on Pretoria 012-753-9091. For more resources and updates, simply follow us on social media on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. We'll see you next time on Encounter.